Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Last week, we brought you an interview with and a performance by Milwaukee trumpeter Eric Jacobson. In addition to playing with several jazz combos in the area, Jacobson is also responsible for booking performances at one of the area's leading venues for music in that genre, the East Side's Jazz Estate.
John Dye, who also owns Bryant's on the South Side, bought and renovated the Jazz Estate in the last couple of years. I visited him one noontime at the space on Murray Avenue, just north of North Avenue.
So, John, first of all, thank you for meeting me here at the Jazz Estate. Well, the newly revamped Jazz Estate.
Absolutely.
So how long have you been here? When did you purchase it? And what made you decide to venture to the north side, or at least the east side?
Right. The east side, definitely. So I believe I purchased it in August of 2015 and then closed right about in that fall there. We closed it for about a year to do the renovations. It took longer than we had expected, but I think that's a pretty common situation in this game. So, but we wanted to do things right. At first, we just were going to try to renovate the space, and we were hoping when we took down some of the wood paneling, we'd find really neat stuff, but we actually didn't find any neat stuff at all. So,
like old posters or that
old
kind of
posters
thing?
Or great wallpaper, or just something we could work off for a more of a historic renovation. So we ended up having to go back to the drawing board and sort of reimagine the space and what it could be, or maybe what it could have been, 30, 40, 50 years ago.
The building that we're sitting in, do you know the age of it and what it was before it was a club?
So this building actually has a really interesting history. The area we're sitting in now is the basement of a house that was built in the 1890s. Everything that kind of goes from the bar back has the lower ceiling is the basement of an old house that they just slowly dug out over time to increase their space. The front that looks like a storefront from the street is actually built in the 30s, right around the Great Depression. And as far as we can tell, it was a real estate office, but we have a feeling that maybe it just sort of sat vacant for a little while. And then a bar opened, I believe, in around 1938, 39.
And did they have music, do you know? Is there history of that?
So the family that owned it, they sort of owned it off and on through the entire time. They were really, really huge fans of music. So they would have music. The story is that one of the old owners went to World War II and came back with a love of jazz music. So it was just sort of this change in his life that brought him to appreciate jazz, and he would play it all the time. And finally, he was the same fellow who called it the estate and made it a jazz club in the 70s.
Okay, so we're talking about 40 years of this being an active jazz club of some kind.
Absolutely. It's been the estate since around 1977.
Now, we're not in a very big space. As you said, it's a former basement, or
right,
at least a basement digging back. So take me on a little tour.
We like to call it intimate space. But it is small. It is small, which I think is one of the charms of it. It seats about 64 people or so. As you walk in, there's a bar, and then you look back, and the stage is sort of in the middle of the room. So when you're watching a live act, you're either sitting right directly in front of the stage or to one of the sides. So the nice thing about that is it really brings this experience with the music. I mean, every seat you're right by the stage. So sometimes when you're watching a performance, you're really right in the performance with the artist, which is really neat. And I think that's been one of the successes of the estate over the years. It's just this feeling of being really close to the artists.
Now, how do the artists feel about that? Do they like having the audience that close?
I think they do. I've never asked that specific questions, but I do know that the artists really like playing here, and they always have. Even through all the changes, even before we did the renovation, they really liked playing here. It just always had this really great community feel to it. And that is one of the main elements of jazz music, as the community. So it's just very important to this space and to the musicians. Since the remodel, I think that they like that there's been some improvements in the sound quality. They don't hit their head on the ceiling anymore like they used to.
Well,
so,
unless they're like basketball players.
Right. Because we actually raised the ceiling about a foot in some places. So it's considerably larger than it used to be.
Is there anything still above us?
Yes, it's an apartment upstairs. So
Okay. It's
sort of seen different uses. It was a green room for a little while. It was offices. The previous owners lived up there. Some of them did. And then there's an apartment on the third floor also. So it's just sort of an old East Side house. If you went up there, you'd be like, yeah, this is a house from the East Side.
Except you have a jazz club in your basement.
Right.
Yeah.
And the ceiling didn't used to be soundproofed either. So I think that really was the music was right upstairs with them. But we soundproofed it, so I think they're a lot happier up there.
What is the difference for you as someone who owns a different venue in a different part of town? What's the difference up here versus down in the South Side?
It's funny. It is a lot different. Both the neighborhoods have a very different feel, even though the feel of the spaces actually have a lot of similarities. Just the general feel of the neighborhood and the way the space interacts with the neighborhood is much different. As you know, Bryant sort of sits on a corner on the South Side in a residential area. There's not much going on around it. It just sort of is its own little realm of cocktails. So whereas the estate, we more interact with the neighborhood. We have people walking by. When the door opens, you can hear the music going into the street, which is almost, kind of reminds me of almost a New Orleans feel, which I think is really neat. It is funny how I've really learned that there are East Side clientele and there are South Side, and people don't cross over as much as I think that they probably should. I kind of wish people would get out and explore the city a little bit more and get out of their comfort zone. So,
but at the same time, I think it's kind of fun to have your neighborhood joint.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And do you see the estate being a neighborhood joint?
Yep.
In the good sense?
Definitely. Absolutely. And I think it always has. It's always had this sort of dual purposes, and we really wanted to sort of expand on that. So we added a really great cocktail program. Jeff Kinder actually did all of the drinks. He's a great bartender. So we have this sort of cocktail lounge feel when music's not playing. When there is music, it's great music with great cocktails. So they really play well together. And we are open 7 days a week at 5. So it's nice. So people can like stop here after work. And we are starting to get that crowd, starting to build up the neighborhood crowd. And I actually happen to live in the neighborhood, and this is one of the closest bars to my house. So I'm pretty happy about it, too.
Now, as far as the musicians go, we're just looking at the May schedule. And it looks like there's something almost every night now. Are you finding that things are booking up?
So we started at 2 nights a week because we wanted to see how the live music went. And now we're starting to add more. And it's not every night, but every other night, every 3 nights, something's going on here. And we're trying to vary the music so that sometimes we'll have an artist from New York or Chicago coming in, sort of a bigger show like that. We have a lot of the local artists here, which I mean, Milwaukee has just some incredibly talented musicians. It's just absolutely amazing. We then also have open jams and stuff like that to sort of fill in some of the other times. But there's always a really great energy here with the music.
You talk about the kinds of music. Is it always jazz, or are you branching out into other genres of music as well, or are you pretty much sticking to the jazz and blues thing?
At this point, we are probably 95% jazz, so we really want to establish ourselves as being related to the jazz community here. And so we've played with a few other different types of music, and jazz has different definitions to different people too. So some things I think that we play that I would consider jazz, I think a lot of maybe old timers would come in and be like, that is not jazz. So, but it is great music.
You're talking about the more modern stuff.
Right. Yeah. And then we even had we had a bluegrass band, which was really, really neat in here. So it really fit the space well. And it's definitely, when the music's going on here, it has this really great mini venue feel to it. It's really neat. So.
Well, just sitting in here right now, I mean, we're here, it's noon. Right. Obviously, you're not open to the public yet. You opened for me to come in and sit and talk with you. But there's a wonderful sort of warmth to this space. I'm reminded of like small jazz clubs in New York without the smell.
We got rid of the smell.
Got rid of the smell.
It's funny. I think a lot of bars, since the smoking ban, have it's taken a while to sort of get that smell out of the spaces. And,
right.
But yeah, this definitely, it reminds me of Small's Jazz Club in the Village in New York. And it definitely has just this really great small venue feel to it.
How did you get interested? And why did you want to become a proprietor of a place that showcased jazz?
Well, it was actually the history of the space that attracted me. I'm very attracted to histories of businesses. So that's why I was attracted to Bryant's, is because it has this great cocktail history in the city. And then the estate, it has a great jazz history. And if somebody hadn't stepped in, I don't think it would be here right now. It was sort of on its last leg. And even with the space, there was just a lot of maintenance that had been sort of put off over the years that had turned into larger problems. And so it was sort of stepping in to save a historic venue.
But then talk about the business side of it. I mean, do you expect that you're going to eventually make a profit on this? Or is this a labor of love?
It's a little bit of both. I don't think I've chosen a career path where money is the primary. As much as people think that is in this business, you have to have the passion for it. Somebody told me, how do you make $1 million at the jazz club? You start out with two. It's one of those businesses that a lot of people would say is dying, but if you go to other cities, I don't think that is the case, and now you're seeing in Milwaukee that it's not the case either. There's Gibraltar that just opened on the south side. Evan's doing an awesome job there. And to have two great jazz venues open in the same year is just a really neat thing, and I think it says a lot about this city.
Well, and you also have the Carolines. It's been around for a while, so there's one in Walker's Point.
Absolutely.
And so it seems like you could go from the south side up to the east side and stop along the way and hear some different music.
Definitely, definitely. And that's a really neat thing to have. There's also the Jazz Gallery in River West that, that puts on
opened,
a lot of great...
Yeah, they've been around for about a year?
Yep, about a year, I think. And then there's Company Brewing also does some great jazz stuff. So it's just really neat to see this genre sort of building up in the city again. And yeah, I mean, you could almost be a jazz tourist here.
Do you think jazz is finding new audiences then? I mean, are audiences responding to it in ways that surprise you?
They are. And one thing I was really surprised of is how young the crowd is. It's young and energetic. And I think something that maybe has been forgotten in jazz music over the years is that there is a fun element to it. And there should be a fun element to it. It's a type of music that sort of started out almost as a party music. And I think sometimes we lost sight of that over the years, just looking at the technical aspects of it. But if you make it fun, people do respond to it. And it makes for one of the best nights, you know, of the month is to go out and hear a great jazz band and have some drinks and just have a good time.
So you're seeing young people come in here.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's
fantastic.
It's,
yeah, and it was, again, it was surprising. It was a surprise to me.
You're expecting the middle-aged and older crowd.
Yep.
And do they show up, too?
They also show up. Okay. It's a very diverse crowd here, which is neat. It's and it's similar to Brian's. It's just a very diverse crowd that walks through the door, and I think that's really valuable for the city.
So any ideas of maybe doing a jazz festival?
That's funny. We have thought of that. I think it'd be really neat to do an East Side Jazz Festival. We could do it right outside, I suppose. It would be a lot of fun. I think it would also be neat to sort of take over underutilized spaces in the city and do 1 or 2 day long jazz festivals in those spaces, because I think that combines both of my interests, which is saving these historic spaces and music and having a great time.
So check in with you is what you're saying.
Yes, definitely.
Well, John Dye, thank you so much for taking some time today and talking with us, and best of luck with this.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. It's nice to meet you.
John Dye is the proprietor of the Jazz Estate on Milwaukee's East Side. You can find a list of their upcoming gigs and much more at wuwm.com.